Good morning. I would like to bid you all a hearty welcome to this morning's worship service. We have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. My name is Jeff Hildebrand. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So this morning, I would like to talk to you a little bit about when we look at life, there seems to be two options. We can either whine and complain about things, or we can have the peace of God. And in the first part of the message this morning, we want to look at God's Word where it talks about these complaining things and what that looks like to God. And the second portion, then we want to address how we can have the peace of God through all sorts of circumstances. So before we get started this morning, let's unite for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for the love that you have shown by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross, to be raised up, and to have gone to prepare a place in heaven for us. Father, we just ask that you would be in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that you would lead and guide us this morning in worship and in the Word. May you and you alone be honored and glorified. Father, we just ask that you would be with those that are grieving, those that are going through difficulties in their life, that you would surround them with the people that they need, and of course, that they would turn to you. Father, we just trust and want to be obedient to you in our walk with you, and understand that you are a holy and mighty God. So as we look into your word, may our hearts truly be opened to receiving the message, and that we would, your children would be blessed. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are receiving your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
Stick your red hymnal, turn to number 21, "How Sweetly Chime the Sabbath Bells." Number 21.
We come to worship. praises be number 36. Number 36.
Thank you so much for that playing and that singing. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be looking at the first 11 verses. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. And it reads as follows. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and he is going over what happened when the Israel nation was fleeing Egypt, when they were finally freed. And we know that in the book of Exodus, and that's where we'll be turning next, to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm only going to read part of this because it is quite lengthy. So I would say this to you. Take a note and read all of Exodus chapter 14 when you get home today. And that will give you a little bit more understanding of the whole scenario. So we want to step back into that time when now the people are leaving Egypt. So for 400 years, the Israel people were calling out to God and asking God to free us from the slavery that they were in. And so we'll pick it up at Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, if we go into verse 15, it talks about how the Israel nation sings praises and honors God for this great victory and giving them their freedom. I wonder what it must have been like to hear so many people singing and worshiping God They're finally free of the Egyptians who they had cried out for so many years to God that he would free them. And so God reacted, and he did exactly that. He freed them. And so it doesn't take very long. So we're going to go into Numbers, the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 11, and here's kind of the crutch of the first half of the message, because I want to compare this essentially to you and I. When we look at our life, we say we're blessed. And we are. We say God has looked after us, and he has. But how many of us do exactly what the Israel nation did in Numbers chapter 11? So let's go through that. Verses 1 to 6. And when the people complained, so now after the delivery, they've been set free. They're wandering around in the desert. We know that was a 40-year journey. But this is what happens. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. So he's not happy with the complaints. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude was among them, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So you remember, when we look back, God provided manna, bread from heaven. Now they're complaining. Now we want something else to eat. Now look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. So now they complain about God's provision. And we can read on, and we know that God provided quail or some partridge or some type of a bird that they could eat meat. How does that look like or compare to us today? We very often complain, don't we? And it very often is in when we are dealt a circumstance in our life that we can complain, or then we choose to complain. I would like to share a little story with you. And this just happened this past week. We were out, we had gone camping and we were out fishing. And we came back to our campsite. And the people that we were camping with, he approached my boat and the trailer, and he said, well, you're missing your hub on your tire. And then he shook my boat. And he says to me, that doesn't look good. So we jacked up the boat, and we could just wiggle the tire. So for all you mechanics, you know, the bearings were gone. So we drove into town, got the parts, and we fixed it. And it was a tag team effort. No complaining, just we did what we needed to do to get back on our way. Was it inconvenient? Yeah, sure it was. But how do we deal with these types of situations? So very often, we end up doing what? We complain. So we're on our way home on Friday. We get to the west end of Morden, past the tracks, we're coming east where that first stop sign is or the red lights are, we hear this person pull up behind us or beside us, and he honks his horn. And so I roll down my window, and he says to me, "You got a blown out tire on your horse or on your boat trailer." Okay, we pulled into an empty parking lot, and we repaired the tire or put a new tire on. Could we have whined and complained? No. Yes, we could have. But instead of doing that, my thought went to, isn't it interesting that God sent someone beside us to point out that we had a problem? Because sometimes people just drive by. God sent us a messenger saying, "You have a problem." And so we could fix it and drive safely home. So there's all sorts of things that we need to look at and consider. Sometimes it's the little things like that, that we call little things, where God is working through people to help in circumstances. My question is this to you. How many of you are dealing with something in your life? And God is sending messages to you. And sometimes we're not receptive. And I want to explain that a little bit this way. Did you come to church today prayerfully? Did you ask God to open your heart so that you could really hear His word? Because if you came to church today and you're listening with your ears, many of you will hear this, blah, blah, blah. Or it's going to go, how we say, in this ear, straight through this ear. You will go home, and some of you might say, what a great message. And somebody will ask you, what was it about? Well, I don't know, something about a fishing boat. So did you come in the right frame of mind? That's why I say, listen with your heart. Because that's how we are supposed to listen to God, in spirit, in the inner part of our very being. What has this message told you so far? It's really talking about our situations in life where we look way back in the Old Testament and people complained after being delivered from bondage. Look at us today. We have been delivered by Jesus Christ from eternal bondage. That is the message that we need to hold on to. We have been delivered as believers in Jesus Christ. So, are you a faithful follower of Jesus? Do you honor God? You know, we were talking about this in the ministerial room. I want you to go home today after you've read what I talked about before in Exodus, but go read the Lord's Prayer. Go read the Lord's Prayer and then dissect it. How does it start? Our Father. What does that mean? That means He is our Father. And then it goes on. But it talks about hallowed be thy name, right? What does that mean? What does hallowed mean? It means holy. We have a holy God. Do you and I revere God as a holy God? And I wonder, when you look at the whole story of what we've gone through Exodus and through Numbers, there's certainly some people in what happened in that event that forgot that God is holy. And God was displeased with them. So if you are in that situation, come back to the Father. How many of you have children? How many of you have grandchildren? And so how do they address you? Very often, like we grew up, when I looked at my daughter, well, I called him Dad. Very seldom did we address them as Father. Some people do. How many of you grew up addressing your dad or your father as Father? How many of you grew up that way? Not too many hands are going up. There's a few. But there's something to that. And so when we think of God, that He is our Father, then let's multiply that by what He did for us. And the amazing grace He has shown us through the gift of salvation through His Son. So when we revere God for who He is, that pleases Him. When we push Him off and we fall into the traps of the world, that is displeasing to God. That's why Paul addressed the Corinthian church and he reminded them of that. So if you're going through one of those types of things in your life, then come back to our Father, which is in heaven, and hallow His name. So before we go over to the second portion of the service, I do have one prayer request, and I'll read it as it was given to me. It says, please pray for Tierra and Jordan and their three children, Tierra's parents and her brother, as they are headed to Rochester, Minnesota. Tierra will be having surgery to remove the tumor in her spinal cord. It is scheduled for this coming Tuesday. Please continue to pray for this family, the doctors and nurses that will be performing this delicate surgery. Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And I mean, I'm no surgeon for sure, but I think we all understand that when you're talking surgery around the spinal cord, it is very complex. And so this is certainly a very delicate surgery, as mentioned here. So when we kneel, I would ask that you please pray for this family. So before we go any further, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Take your blue books and turn to page 29, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. 29. Can we stand?
Thank you again for that singing and that playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. Now, we looked at how the Israel nation became quite discontent, or they complained about so many things. And then we look at the song that we just sang. You know, it's when Jesus has come into our heart, shouldn't our way of thinking change? Shouldn't we have had some kind of a transfer or something in our minds, a change of mind and a heart? Well, I would say we should. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 4. So Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand." So moderation might mean something like self-control. So that's something we can demonstrate, our self-control. Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Whatever we are going through, we are supposed to bring that to God. We talked about this in the ministerial room this morning. Our prayer to God should be the first step. How many of you have ever been guilty of using it as kind of a last step? We go, "Well, I guess I can pray about it." No, it should be our first step. Don't exclude God. Look at the result of what we can have from verse that I just read. Now look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." So here's that transition I was talking about. Your heart and your mind. There's a change. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So this is why it's important for us to have a renewing of the mind. So it explains what we should be thinking about and deal, how we can deal with situations in our life. Verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So if we truly have the peace of God, do you suppose maybe our complaining would get turned down somewhat? And we wouldn't, and we're still going to find things to complain about. I can guarantee you that. But maybe we can look at it a little bit differently. Verse 10 goes on to say, and well, before I read that, in my Bible, it's subtitled. It says, "Peace in all circumstances." That's pretty broad. Verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Making sure we put Jesus first in our thoughts, in our actions, is very important. And I want to share another little story that is quite interesting to me. How many of you have ever lost a loved one? We can probably all put up our hands. And is there pain? Yeah, there is. Recently, A family I know had lost their dad, their father. And there were about 300 people at that funeral. And through modern technology, these events get put online and you can watch at a later time. One day the family contacted me and said there had been almost 700 views of that funeral service, plus about the 300 people that were actually at the funeral. Now, anytime we're going through grieving, obviously, like I said, it's a very emotional time, and it hurts when you lose a loved one. And their comment to me was this: praise the Lord that these thousands or so people got to hear a message that, you know, of God's word. And it's like, wow, that is good. That is good. What kind of impressed me was the fact they're going through this period of grief and they're rejoicing in the Lord because of what he accomplished through the passing of their loved one. That is beautiful. That's the only way I can think of it. So when we see here that we can have peace in all circumstances, God is offering that to us. But folks, we need to take hold of it. We need to actually see the good that comes out of some difficult, difficult things. It's not always easy. I know that. Sometimes it's very, very hard. And sometimes what happens, and I'll refer back to losing a loved one, sometimes it happens in a day or two that you see these positive things out of the passing of your loved one. And sometimes it's weeks. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it can be years. But God is at work. So if we look at the journey and you look at your journey of your life, you have probably, just like the Israel nation, you have gone through some ups and you have gone through some downs. When those people left Egypt, God was with them until they got to where? The promised land. Now we jump into the New Testament. God sent his son Jesus Christ. And if you have accepted him as your personal savior, you have a guide until you get to the promised land. So follow the Lord. He is our guide. This has to be personal. It is your choice to do so. Whether you choose Jesus or reject Jesus, that is up to you. And I want to encourage you, please accept him. Your life will change. Your life will change. Be that example that you can be. If you are a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a young person, we can all do the right thing by following Christ and living a life and do our work for the Lord. It's going to be life-changing. And even though in some hard situations, God will give you the peace that you need in those moments. I want to turn to John chapter 14. Now, the book of John is, I've mentioned it in many places. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, but it is simply my favorite book of the Bible. You look at John and 1 John, and I really can relate to a lot of what John says. But in John chapter 14, I want to go to verse 23. And here Christ is talking to Judas, not Iscariot, which is in verse 22, but verse 23, let's start there. And these are Jesus' words. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Plural, we. That means the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit will come to a man who loves or a woman who loves the Lord. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you walk out of the church and you step back into reality, do you fear? Are you afraid of what you see and how the world is going? Or do we actually understand what the Bible teaches about the end times? Do we know that these things are coming? We need to be observant and pay attention. That is something that is important for us to do. So we can still have peace because we've turned to the Lord. And if I were to ask you all, have you ever experienced a situation where you all of a sudden you're going through this challenge, and all of a sudden this wave of peace just kind of comes over you. And you realize, you know what? It's going to be okay. Maybe not in that moment. It may take some time. But it'll be okay. Because I'm going to give it to the Lord. And the Lord is going to deal with it. And I can have peace with that. And so again, that brings into our thought, or should, that we need to pray about that situation and that circumstance, however and whatever it might be. I want to turn to the book of Psalm. And so I'd like to look at the 91st Psalm. In Psalm 91, here David is crying out to God. And look what he says. So Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Can we say that? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. David is crying out, recognizing who God is. He calls him his Lord, his refuge, his fortress. Can you and I say that's who this holy God is? Have we come to know him in such a deep way that we can turn left or turn right? We can go forward or backwards, and we know that God is near us, that God will strengthen and carry us through anything and everything. My friends, as I mentioned earlier, we have a decision to make in our life, and that is, again, it's do we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? So the invitation is open to one and all. If there's someone here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you, please accept him. Once you have, you talk to somebody and you work with the local ministerial, work with people that you know are followers of Christ, and you start to grow and become closer to our Lord and Savior. The final text that we want to look at this morning is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll beginning at verse 6. So do we have peace? Are we content? Or are we complainers? Let's look at this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into many temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is a warning that we are to remain focused on God, not on our worldly possessions. So when we read earlier how some of the Israel nation, how they had fallen into worldly lusts, remember what God said. He was displeased with that. So that is something we want to avoid. So in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow, listen to this, follow after these things, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee a charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unbreakable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at what we need to fight. We need to have the fight of good faith. We need to fight that battle. So we are waging war against evil. But we can overcome. And when you have gained victory over some things in your life, you can be very content and have peace. And there might be a few things in your life that you might need to change. Let God work with you. You have to open that door. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, let it lead you and guide you. God has prepared a place. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. Friends, let's make sure we grab hold of our eternal salvation in heaven. Let's stop whining and complaining. Think on those things that show that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And let's try to be the best examples that we can possibly be. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we as people, we are challenged in a lot of areas. There's all sorts of things that we could look at. But Lord, you are a God of grace and mercy and certainly of love. So with whatever anybody is struggling with, Lord, we just want to present ourselves to you, that you will lead and guide us through these things, whatever they are, that you will uphold us and carry us through them. And Lord, even so, sometimes when we go through things and we don't understand, you see the big picture. And sometimes these things help us grow as people. And sometimes it really draws us a lot closer to you. Though it be painful, Lord, we know that we can be content in all circumstances, and we can have this peace that Jesus is offering us. So again, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, for your grace and your mercy that you show us. We thank you for your unending love that you have offered us. And again, Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I ask that you would soften their heart, that they would come to accept you and be ready to meet you whenever that day comes. So, Lord, we thank you for all that have come this morning. We thank you for those that might be watching. We also want to ask that you be with those that are either in care homes or shut-ins that are dealing with those types of things. Lord, that they too would have access to your word. May you bless and keep them. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. So for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Just take your blue hymnal and turn to number 391, I Surrender All. 391.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for coming out this morning and bringing us a wonderful message. And also want to thank the pianists and the song leaders for also leading us in singing this morning. And also thank you for all of you that came out this morning to hear the message. Just a couple announcements. Mark your calendar. Summertime is flying by. Soon it'll be time for our annual church picnic. It's planned for Sunday, September 7th at 12 noon in the Winkler Park. Please bring your lawn chairs and a salad or dessert to share. Thanks, we hope to see you all there. And there's a praise item from Salem Home. Thank you all for your prayers on behalf of Salem Home. They have recently been able to hire a few more nurses. Please continue to pray for more staff as well as the residents and existing staff. Your prayers have really been noticed. So prayer is powerful. And on that note, just to the back of the bulletin, on the prayer list, Tayira and Jordan Cron and family, let's keep them in our prayers, as was mentioned earlier in the prayer request. Also, please pray for a man who's struggling with the loss of his wife. Let's keep him in our prayers. Prayers and condolences to the family and friends of Katie Ginter. And again, as was mentioned, Salem Home. But also keep the ministerial and their families in their prayers, the Sunday school students, the youth, teachers and leaders, and also our government and each other. So prayer is powerful and God hears us and he answers. Thank you and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you for those announcements. I surrender all. That kind of says it all, doesn't it? So let's be those people. Let's surrender to our Lord and Savior. As far as the message goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to everyone that joined us this morning. Let's bow for the benediction that we find in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.